Good morning, and it's nice to be here. I want to thank the pastor for giving me the privilege and for Matthew for arranging for me to be here. Now, there are a few things I need to explain right at the beginning. One is that, as I said, I come from India, and I come from that part of India where our tradition is that when we go up to preach at the pulpit, we take off our sandals or slippers. And I remember on my first visit when I came to Perth, that was the first time I came to Australia many years ago. There was a church called St. Matthew's, I think, and they had three services. So in the first service when I preached, and as usual, I left my sandal at the seat and came here. And then I was told, you know, the one who hosted me in Perth was highly amused when he was taking me home. And he said, CB, you won't believe it, that somebody came and offered some money for buying shoes for you. they thought I came all the way from India, and I was one of those poor who did not have a slipper on. Now, I want to tell you that's not true. My sandals are there. And the other thing is that my name, people ask me, what does CB stand for? So let me explain right at the beginning, because that's not the content of the message. My full name is Christian Barnabas Samuel, and Christian is my surname, and we in that part of India put our surname at the beginning, and I just thought I'll clarify so that you know what it is. Now, I'm so happy that I'm here, especially with Tia, I've been a partner of for many years now. And I am from India, working in the context of mobilizing the church to be involved in issues of justice and compassion. And over the last many years, that has been my main emphasis, and that is what God has called me for, to teach the Word of God. And I find it very interesting that, the topic of justice, on which we are going to look at later in this conference, is something that receives different kind of response in the body of Christ. Because fortunately or unfortunately, quite a few texts on justice are found in the Old Testament. And I remember someone telling me, but that is an Old Testament subject, the justice issue. New Testament, there's hardly any mention of justice, or when justice is used, it is more interpreted as justification. So people tell me that, that's an Old Testament concept. But I find it rather interesting that when it comes to wealth, most Christians are Old Testament people, because the teaching in the New Testament about wealth is quite difficult. It is easier for a camel to enter into the kingdom of God than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. And then woe unto you, rich. We say, no, but there was Abraham, there was Solomon, there was Job. And I realize there's an interesting art of interpretation that when we come to justice, we become New Testament people. And when it comes to wealth, we are Old Testament people. I don't know whether you have the problem in Australia. But interesting how we look at the scripture. But today I'm going to look at the Old Testament, and I'm looking at the book of Amos. But some of you, if you feel that you want to talk to me about justice in the New Testament, we can do that later on. But the Bible is very clear that justice is not a program. It is, in fact, the character of God. Isaiah says, God is exalted by justice, and God shows himself holy through justice. And I think it's very important for us, especially in the world in which we live. And this morning, I want to look at the book of Amos. And it's very clear that in the passage that was read to us, God tells the people through the prophet Amos that I hate your gatherings. That was what was said. I despise your religious festivals. Your assemblies are a stench to me. And then he says, away with the noise of your songs. I will not listen to the music of your harps, but let justice roll on like a river. God is very, very clear that if you have to make a choice of pleasing God through our worship and pleasing God through our acts of justice, it is very clear God prefers to listen to justice rather than worship that is there with music. I'm not against the worship. But what God says is, worship that is acceptable to God is that which is born out of lives which are committed to justice. And so it's very clear. And Jesus was very clear as well when he told his disciples, when you come to offer at the temple, if you remember that your brother has something against you, leave that worship, the offering at the altar, and go settle your broken relationship. He made it very clear. There are priorities for God. And in these days, we have a lot of emphasis on worship. But many times, it is born out of lives which are so contradictory to the character of God. And the book of Amos is very clear. God says, this is what matters. And so what I want to do in the time that I have is to quickly look at this book, because this particular prophet was specially called by God to communicate the concerns of God relating to justice, to nations, to systems, and to people, individuals. And I want to look at that, because when we talk about justice, there's always a confusion. The confusion is, what does it mean to be a just society? In the country that I come from, where we have more than 40% of our people who do not have two meals a day. And the question is, what does justice mean? And what does it mean when you have come from a country where people are caught up in trafficking humans? And when people are sold, children are sold, you know, because people want to survive. What does it mean when we vote a government in, and what do we expect from them when they pass laws which are so unjust to the nation? What does justice mean? Now, I believe it's an important area that we as Christians have to contribute to this world. I was telling Paul this morning, you know, the one with whom I'm staying, in whose home we are staying. I was at a conference a few years ago in India, which was a conference of all religions. I was asked to do the keynote on religion and development. And I was saying in that conference, because largely it was religious leaders from different religions in India, and I said, in a country like India, where we have so many things happening, children dying out of sicknesses that can be avoided, and all these things, I said, it's time that we have a God who is concerned about injustice. And I said, you know, I was, kind of mischievous that time when I told him, in a country when we have so many thousands of gods, if we don't have a God who is committed to justice, it's high time we create a new God. Now, that's what I told him. And at the end of that, after my session, when we were having tea, all these religious leaders came around me, and I was sure they were going to question me about what I said. But that's not what they said. They told me together that was we had top Hindu groups, we had Sikh group, and they said, Mr. Samuel, do you realize that it's only the God of the Judeo-Christian faith who is committed to justice? And I didn't know that then. I knew what the Bible said about justice, but I didn't know that there is no provision for God of justice in any other religion other than the Judeo-Christian. And they must have known that, because these were leaders of the Hindu faith and the Buddhist faith and other things. And they said, God as a God of justice is a Judeo-Christian understanding. And I was telling myself when I heard that, how many in the church know it? When we say, who is like unto you, O God? What do we mean? We mean that God is consistently a God who is committed to justice. And I believe when the church of Jesus Christ can be so indifferent to this God of justice and his cries which go to his ear, there's something wrong. And no wonder Amos uses those strong words when he says, I hate your assemblies. It is a stench to me. And I don't, in a way, with the noise of your songs. Because you got it totally wrong. This is not what pleases me. And I think it's important for the church to revisit the God of the Bible. Because it's very clear in the world in which we live, if God cannot be a God of justice, then he doesn't deserve to be God at all. And I think it's very important for us. And in this book of Amos, you know, the prophet Amos was asked to go to Israel specifically with the news that he is concerned, God is concerned about the way the people were living. Now, Amos actually was not, as he says later on, not a full-time prophet, you know, or a child or son of a prophet. He was not from the community, perhaps, of people whose full-time work was to bring prophetic word to the nation. He says, actually, I'm a gardener by profession. Not even somebody who had his own garden, I suppose, because the words used is that I look after sycamore tree. And so the concern for justice is not something that a few full-time ordained people are the ones who speak on it. It is the occupation of average Christians who know God to speak on these issues. And so Amos is called by God to go to this nation and to speak about justice. But what do we notice about Amos's statements on justice? Let me quickly look at it. In chapter 1, Amos starts off by talking about God's concern to nations. And these were not nations which believed in Yahweh as God. Because in chapter 1, it says in verse 3, "For three sins of Damascus, even for four, I will not relent. For three sins of Gaza, even for four, I will not relent." Verse 6. Verse 9, "For three sins of Tyre, even for four, I will not relent." And verse 11, "For three sins of Edom, even for four, I will not relent." And then verse 12, 13, "For three sins of Ammon, even for four, I will not relent." Chapter 2, verse 1, "For three sins of Moab, even for four, I will not relent." Verse 4, "Verse for three sins of Judah, even for four, I will not relent." And then verse 6, "For three sins of Israel, even for four, I will not relent." That was the words of God to these nations, because nations can be unjust. Justice is not something which is what individuals do to one another alone, but even nations can be unjust. And that's where it starts. And these were not nations that worshipped in Yahweh. These were nations other than Israel and Judah, which worshipped other gods. So it doesn't matter whether they have the same belief or not, it is the character of God to hold all nations accountable to being just. So it doesn't matter whether in Australia, where Christians may be a diminishing tribe, you know, of less than 10%, as I was told, or in India, where we are only 1% or maybe 4%. It doesn't matter. We are called to speak on justice because this is the God of the Bible, whose character is justice. We don't have to say, but in Australia, you know, we are not a Christian nation. Doesn't matter. Damascus was not. Gaza was not, Tyre was not, but God says, I hold every nation accountable to be just. And very important for us, God doesn't hold nations accountable to be loving, but he holds them accountable to be just. Psalm 82 says, one day God will call all the nations, all the rulers of the nations, and he will hold them accountable to being just. And I feel that we as people who believe in Jesus Christ, whichever nation we come from, we have a role to be a voice in our nation for justice. And how does a nation look like where justice flows like a river? In the Bible, the pictures are more pictures of what happens in terms of injustice. And it's good for us to know, what did Damascus do? It says, she threshed Gilead with sledges having one teeth. Later on, talking about Edom, it says, he pursued his brother with the sword and slaughtered the women of the land. And later on about Moab, when he burned to ashes the bones of Edom's kings. What does the Bible say? The Bible says nations are unjust in the way they do war. The weapons of warfare that they used, where they threshed Gilead, where they burned to death the bones of the king of Edom. Because sometimes our nations get away saying we are fighting for our nation. And use all kinds of weapons. In my country today, the present pursuit is of nationalism. and patriotism, and we feel under the umbrella of nationalism and patriotism, we can do anything to anyone. The Bible says no. Because he says, I hold these nations accountable for their weapons of mass destruction, the way they treat people of other nations, how they threshed in Gilead, pursued after brothers, it says, without any emotions. And I believe we as Christians should watch how our nations behave. And then it goes on to say, you took whole communities and sold them. God says, I'm concerned because nations are involved in the trafficking of human beings. You buy and sell not just products, human beings. You sold whole communities. And it says there that they did not keep their treaty of brotherhood, verse 9, about Tyre. Agreements you made with other nations, you have violated it. God says that is unjust. We live in a world where nations make treaties with other nations and have no respect at all. And then they call off the treaty for whatever reason it may be. God says, I expect you to be a promise-making and a promise-keeping nation. Because that's the God of the Bible. Hannah Arendt, the Jewish philosopher, says, what is unique about the God of the Bible is God of the Bible makes covenants and keeps covenant. She says that is no other God does it. I make covenants and keep covenants. And it's important for us to hold our nations accountable because the Bible says that's how it is. And it says you extend your border, talking about Ammon, and it says you ripped open pregnant women in Gilead. In the country I come from, a few years ago, there were riots in the western state of Gujarat. And during that time, they said more than 2,000 people were killed. It was in the year 2002. And many a times they said they ripped open pregnant women. And they still have not found anybody guilty. Because the best thing that a nation does is to appoint a commission, and the commissions never come with any solution. That's how it is. I don't know about your country. We are still trying to find out who killed Gandhi. You know, that's how it is. Because we are not nations committed to justice at all. But God says, I hold nations accountable. As an individual, you may be just. But remember, God says nations can be unjust. Not only nations can be unjust, but systems can be unjust. It says over and over again in God's teaching in Isaiah, in Amos. This is what it says in chapter 5, in verse 12. I know many of your are your offenses. There are those who oppress the innocent and take bribes and deprive the poor of justice in the courts. God is very clear. Not only do nations sin, but systems can be unjust. Courts, whose job is to ensure justice, are easily influenced. You deprive the poor of justice. You oppress the innocent and you take bribes. We as Christians sometimes don't keep an eye on systems of injustice which are there in our countries. I remember going to meet the president of our country many years ago, along with the delegation when they were going to pass a bill in our nation against freedom of religion, the right to preach. And I still remember the words of the president when he met with this Christian delegation that I was part of. He said, this is the first time a Christian delegation has come to me in all my years of public service. He was somebody who was in public service for many years. And he said, this is the first time I've had a delegation which came to meet me regarding an unjust law. And he said, the freedom of religion is not the only unjust law. He says, there are many that are passed every year in India. And he said, I hope I will see you more often. And I think we Christians get so agitated on some pet issues on which we become visible. And then we become quiet for the rest of our life. And most of these pet issues are issues which relate to the gospel, to Christian faith. But my friends, what the Bible says is that injustice is not just what nations do, but even in our systems. The way we communicate in the courts, where there is supposed to be justice, we silence people. And he says, you take bribes and the poor are deprived. It happens in my country so often, especially with large corporates who have a way to take away the land of the poor and silence the court. We never get justice. And I heard you are also now in the process of imparting an Indian businessman to take over land in Queensland. And I think the church should speak. The church should speak because there are systems which we are tampering with in order to ensure injustice prevails. And the God of the Bible is very concerned. He talks about whole systems, laws which are made in nations, laws of injustice. And we are struggling with that in our country at this point. Because today we are becoming more and more all over the world, becoming very particular about our national identity. And anyone who questions is silenced both by the media and the court. And God is fully aware. God is fully aware. Another book on which there's so much of justice is the book of Micah. Years ago, some of us had the privilege of forming something called Micah Global, because it's basically to enable Christians to walk justly, to love justice, to show mercy, and to walk humbly before God. And I believe if that's not the character of the church, we have not understood the God of the Bible. And the third interesting thing is that justice is not just what nations do to each other, not just in our systems of injustice, but in our relationship with one another. Again, the prophet is very conscious of that. And God, through the prophet, talks about injustice as something that becomes the culture of society. How does it become? In chapter 4, it says, "Hear this, you cows of Bashan on Mount Samaria." Those are not my words. These are words of God, with due apologies to all the women in the congregation. "You women who oppress the poor and crush needy, and say to your husband, 'Bring us some drinks.'" What is God saying? You know, the lifestyle that we have chosen is a lifestyle that perpetuates justice. We live in a world of consumerism, increasing consumerism. And the only way that this consumerism can be satisfied is by promoting injustice in other parts of the world. I was in Dhaka a few months ago with Micah Global. And the place where I stayed, just behind that, is a place where garments are made. And we go into places. You know, I was visiting a friend once in the US. And they took me to a shop to buy some shirt for my son. And when I looked at it, it says made in Dhaka. I said, why would I come all the way to the US to buy a shirt made in Dhaka? But then what happens is that the condition of living in those places are things that are appalling. A few years ago, a whole building collapsed. But what happens? We want the best of the world at a cheap price. And in a world of consumerism, it is only possible to afford it because someone at the other end is paying the price of injustice. We need to ask questions. And he says, you, talking specifically about the women here, he says, they say to your husband, bring us some drinks. The pressure of consumerism, at that time, it was addressed to the women. But I think it is not a women's problem. It is a problem of our society. We need to develop a theology of enough. Because we think as long as we have money, we have a right to choose a lifestyle. No, we don't have. The Bible is very clear. Your increase of income doesn't mean you can be lavish. And the Bible says it's injustice to have a lifestyle which does not have a standard of enough. And I believe as Christians, we need to develop a theology of enough. To say, enough. I don't have to buy the latest phone. I don't have to buy 5 cars. I don't have to go on expanding. Because it's only possible because there is somewhere in the world someone who's paying the price for a lifestyle of lavishness. And not just this. God says there is so much of indifference. Woe to you, he says, with your music. It says this in chapter 6 of Amos. Woe to you who are complacent in Zion And to you who feel secure in Mount Samaria, you notable men of foremost nation, to whom the people of Israel come. He says this, you put off, in verse 3 of chapter 6, you put off the day of disaster and you bring near a reign of terror. You lie on beds adorned with ivory and lounge on your couches. You dine on choice lambs and fattened calves. You strum away on your harps like David, and you improvise on musical instruments. You drink wine by the bowlful, and you use the finest lotions. You do not grieve over the ruins of Joseph. He said you have a lifestyle of total indifference. There's a whole lot of people outside who are crying out to God. And he says sometimes it is not just the lifestyle, but it is not just a lifestyle of luxury, but it's a lifestyle of indifference. It doesn't matter. In my country, we would say that many of our people, especially middle class people, read only the page number three. I don't know whether you have page three of a newspaper, which is all about celebrities, and the sports page. We don't read the rest of the paper. We don't read about the pain that is there. And God says, woe to you. You lie down on beds which are adorned with ivory, and you strum away in your harps. You are just enjoying life. And do not grieve at injustice. God is concerned. Now, what does God expect them to do? What does God expect the people to do? Let me quickly say some things and then close. Firstly, he expects you to be a voice for justice. You may be just a person looking after sycamore tree. That may not be your main occupation to speak for God. But when there's a whole world that is going through injustice, Amos had no choice. God called him and said, I want you to be a prophet. That's not my full-time occupation. But Amos, God wants you to speak. Not only that, it says in chapter 3, this is what it says, chapter 5, verse 15, hate evil, love good, maintain justice in the courts. Very important for us as a church of Jesus Christ to be seen as those who hate evil. Not those who just ignore evil, hate evil, love good, and maintain justice in your courts. Thirdly, have a lifestyle which is not indifferent but concerned. Make sure that your lifestyle is not built on those which exploits other people around the world. And fourthly, ensure that your worship reflects the character of a God of justice. Because that's what is very important as we read the scripture. And I want to thank you for giving me this time. And I know if there's one thing I want to leave with you, is that we have a God who is pained when he looks at this world. And pained more so because the body of Jesus Christ is so indifferent to the concerns on the heart of God. And that is basically what I want to share with you this morning. May God bless the meditation on God's word. Amen.